Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Davis with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, whom we welcome back. We want to hear from you, friends. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. That number's good. In the U.S. and Canada, we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about resurrection, and in the world today, it's a crazy notion. Well, back in Jesus's day and Paul's day, it was a crazy notion as well. It's something that's just beyond our comprehension. And so it's just crazy talk. It just sounds like crazy talk to these natural minds of ours. But resurrection is not crazy at all. It is God's plan, and there's really no plan B. It's death, burial, and resurrection. He's all about new creation, and resurrection is the means to becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was arrested in his latter days, and he stood trial a number of times. And in Acts 26, we read his defense before King Agrippa. And he's talking about the fact that he is standing trial because of the hope of Israel. And what was that hope? Of a resurrection one day. And then he asked this question of those in attendance, those who could hear him, and specifically to King Agrippa, why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? You know the story. You know what has been written in earlier times by the prophets. You know what's in the law. Why is this notion of resurrection so crazy to you? Why is it so beyond your comprehension? If you fully read the story, you would know that is your hope. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm on trial right now. And the people who've accused me, they should be standing here with me, on trial with me. They should be having that same hope of resurrection. So why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? And that really is the question of the day, and that's the question that God puts out there for each and every one of us to wrestle with and to consider and come to terms with. Because if we're not going to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and that God had the ability to raise him back to life, then what hope do we have? I mean, what hope do we have of experiencing new life? I mean, just as Jesus was raised from the dead physically, we're raised to new life spiritually so that we can walk in the newness of life. So that is the hope. That is the hope for here and now, and that's the hope for the future, that one day these bodies will be resurrected, and mortality will put on immortality, perishable will put on imperishable, corruptible will put on the incorruptible. That's the hope of the gospel. So if we want to really believe and be true believers, then we've got to take in this crazy notion of resurrection. As Paul said, we've got to believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. And I'm telling you, come join the crazies, because that's where real life is found through this resurrection of Christ Jesus. But it's something that's out there now as far as skeptics. I mean, everyone who points a finger at Christianity and says it can't be true, the main thing they point to is the resurrection story. And they've come up with all kinds of ways to explain it, that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He just fainted and then came to later. He was just an illusion. It wasn't really Jesus up there. It was just an illusion. There's all kinds of stories to try to explain that away, but the most plausible explanation is that he died, he was buried, on the third day he was raised back to life, just as he said.
Indeed, and this is Basic Gospel, friends, where you hear the good news every day, and we want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. You know, friends, at Basic Gospel, our hope is that what you hear on this broadcast every day is making a difference in the way you walk through life, and we hope it motivates you to help us move this message forward. Others need to hear that God loves them and has provided a full and abundant life for them, just as he has for you and me. We pray that you'll help today. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and as you give this month, we're going to send you the proof Proof of the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us get the message out, friends, and when you do, request your copy of Proof the Resurrection. Again, you can find that at basicgospel.net. Once again, the phone, 844-322-2742, and let's take a call right now.
Yes, I was wondering if you could tell me where it's found in the Bible where Lucifer fell out of heaven, or God got, dismissed him from heaven and his angels with him. Is there a scripture in the Bible that clearly tells that? I've looked several places and I just can't find it. I'd really appreciate it. This is Susie from Arizona. Thank you.
Well, Richard, there actually is a couple of passages that deal with this. Isaiah, I think, chapter 14, and then also Ezekiel chapter 28. What do we read in those two chapters about the fall of Lucifer or the fall of Satan?
Well, what we read is, if you get the actual translation, it's words like, O day star, or son of the dawn, because that's what the Hebrew word meant. We get the name Lucifer from the Latin, and it was used in the King James Version back in the day.
Yes.
And so you have to put these pieces together. Lucifer was used in these locations. And then when you see in Revelation where this dragon was thrown out of heaven and swept a third of the stars in heaven out with his tail, that's where we get the idea that a third of all the angels in heaven went with Lucifer or Satan when he fell. And so you can't pick one, you can't get the entire teaching out of just one verse. You have to look at the entirety of Scripture to see how it is put together.
Now, these two passages in Isaiah and Ezekiel, they're speaking of kings. That's the context, the king of Babylon, the king of Tyre in Ezekiel. But they're really identifying kind of the power behind those kings, and that satanic power. He is the prince of the ruler of this air of and over this world. So we recognize that. And as you look in those two passages, you see that pride that was there. You see this phrase, "I will," constantly. So he wanted to ascend to power. He wanted to usurp God's authority, and he wanted to sit on the throne. That was his deception, that he had the right to do that. And since God pushed him out, I mean, Satan didn't fall. I think God just pushed him on out of there.
Bye.
Yes, and said, "Check you on the flip-flop, dude." But he went down, and he presented that same lie to Adam and Eve.
And
you
we
can
bought
be
it.
Like God. And so Adam and Eve bought it. And so that lie of Satan has been kind of how the world has operated ever since. And it's the truth concerning God that's revealed to us in Jesus Christ that sets us free from that lie, sets us free from the bondage of sin and death so that we could walk in freedom. But these two passages, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and the passage that you mentioned in Revelation, those are the three that really tell us the story of Satan before and why. And I think those cobbled together really give us a pretty good picture.
Yeah, I think it's interesting in light of our intro today. Why do people say it's so crazy of an idea that Jesus rose from the dead? Because Satan couldn't make it happen.
No.
So if I can't do it, nobody can do it. And we buy that lie as well. I'm a human. I can't raise the dead. The dead can't be raised. Sorry, we're dealing with a completely different way of life.
Yes, indeed. And that's so such a good point that we need to I think address just a little bit. You know, science is out there today saying they're going to be able to answer all of the big important questions of life, that at some point they're going to be able to identify the origin, how we got to be, and then they're going to be able to solve death, at least they think. And the reality is that science is limited. It's never going to be able to answer the question of origins. and it's never going to be able to solve the biggest problem that man faces, and that's death. Mm-hmm. It will never be able to reverse that. It may be able to address some of the whys, how it happens, but once somebody's dead, science will never be able to generate enough power to reverse that, to bring somebody back to life, and to bring them back to life in such a way that they will never die again. Only God has that power, and that power was demonstrated in Jesus when God raised him from the dead. He defeated death and brought to life immortality, brought to life and life immortality. Only in God is there enough power to reverse that evil, sinister consequence of sin, and that is death. And he did it once in Jesus. He's doing it every single day spiritually for people who turn to him by faith. And at one day, every single believer will receive a new resurrected body. Why? Because God has power over death.
Wow, is that good news or what, friends? This is Basic Gospel Type News, and we're glad you're with us to hear it today. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock and open lines. If you'd like to speak directly with us, call now, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, this call came in overnight.
Hi, my name is Jadil. I had a question. I was wondering if it's possible, if your heart is hardened spiritually and it's turned against Jesus, I was wondering if it's possible to, for it to be unhardened and toward Jesus again, for your heart to be better. Thank you.
Well, Jadil, thank you so much for that question. Yeah. And our hearts are with you. We're praying for you that your eyes will be opened so that you can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. As it says, we all come into this world as sons of disobedience. We are rebellious toward God. We have hard hearts toward God. But the grace of God is powerful enough to melt those hearts in such a way that we respond to him by faith.
In fact, that's his specialty.
That is his specialty. That's what he does. That's why salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, a proud heart is going to reject the message, and in rejecting it, that hardening continues. It's the humble heart. Well, how do we become humble? Well, I think we become humble by recognizing truth, that we're simply created beings, that we're little bitty on this planet. We have 7 billion people on this planet. It's difficult to find our place in this world today. We feel small. Why? Because we are small. Yet, God considers each and every one of us. God knows the number of hairs on our heads. God knows he cares. He's concerned, so much so that he sent Jesus. And so when we recognize that truth, that humbles us. And in that humbling, we become receptive to the grace of God. As Peter wrote in his first letter, God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. So, Jadil, recognize truth. You need a Savior. You're not good enough to make it into heaven on your own. You're not good enough to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. You cannot work your way into heaven. Why? Because you're a sinner by nature. You're dead spiritually. You are under the control of sin and death. That's your reality. That's where you are right now. So recognize that truth. Recognize your need for a Savior. And as you do, your heart will be softened to Jesus Christ himself, to believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And when that happens, you're saved. You are absolutely saved and saved completely. So, Jadil, we would love to send you some information. And if you could reach back back out to us. You can write to me, bob@basicgospel.net. We have some wonderful resources that I think will be a great help to you. So if you're listening today, one of the passages out of the book of Hebrews says this: today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jerdo, Jesus Christ died for your sins. He took every sin that you have ever committed and will ever commit, and he took those sins upon himself, and he died in your place. And God the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice. So he took away your sin. He was buried to put an end to that old way of life, and then he was raised back from the dead so that you could experience eternal life. That is the gospel. And if you are hearing that gospel today, harden not your heart. Open that heart up and say, yes, Lord, today I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I'm believing in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and salvation is yours. So you haven't gone beyond the reach of God's grace. You can never do that. As long as you're breathing, there's always hope. Yeah. And so let that hope be yours in Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, you know, in this month of April, we want to say thank you to our loyal supporters with a CD called Proof the Resurrection. It's what we're talking about all month here. As a matter of fact, it's what we talk about all the time. Proof the Resurrection. Christianity hinges on this fact: Jesus is alive. And for those who are skeptical, there is an explanation that leaves no doubt, and the evidence is overwhelming. We'll send you a copy to say thanks for your April gift to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and your copy of Proof the Resurrection will be on the way. Just request it when you make your gift. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk to David, who's listening to us on the Word today. Hi, David.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you today?
I'm very well. I was listening to Robert Jeffers this morning, and he was talking about original sin. And, I can't remember the whole verse, but when there's no law, there's no condemnation. And you know what I'm talking about.
Right, in mm-hmm. Romans. Uh-huh.
All right, and so it raised a question in my mind, and I was glad to get you this afternoon. Did Adam and Eve go to hell?
Well, David, there was, I guess, a law in the garden, wasn't there? The day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. So they didn't die physically that day. They both lasted a long, long time. It says that Adam lived to be 930-something years of age. So he didn't right. die physically that day, but he died spiritually. And he was cast out of the garden. So God cast both Adam and Eve out of the garden, and that represented the fact that they were now outside of the presence of God. And there were angels there guarding the way back into the garden to keep them from coming in. Why? Because he didn't want them to go back into the garden and eat of that tree of life and remain in that condition of spiritual death eternally. And that's what would have happened.
Didn't they go to hell?
So when they died, what we can piece together as far as the Bible is concerned is that uh-huh. there was a holding place. There was Hades, and there was an upper region and a lower region. And we see this talked about in Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. Now, right, Jesus right. is just telling this as a story. But from that story, we see that there's this place where souls were held before the time of Christ. So they were either in the upper region or the lower region. So the Bible really doesn't say, does it?
No, I certainly couldn't figure it out. But all the people from Adam and Eve to Moses, Did they all go to hell?
Well, there were certainly some, like Abraham, believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was saved by grace through faith, just like you and I were. Now, he didn't experience the blessings that we do. He wasn't made alive at that point like we are. The Holy Spirit didn't come to live inside of him like the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. But he was saved by faith. He believed God concerning God's promise of the Messiah. God actually said to Abram, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. And Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So that's how salvation comes to all of us in exactly the same way. So Abraham would have been in that upper region. As a matter of fact, they call that Abraham's bosom, that those who believe God in the same way that Abraham did, they would have gone to that same place. And then when the finished work was complete, then they would have been escorted from there into the very presence of the Lord Jesus, just like we are today. When we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Now, those who rebelled, they would have been in the lower regions of Hades, and there's going to be a time that they're called out of that, and they're going to stand before God at the white throne judgment, right, Richard?
Yeah, so the issue here is, what is hell? And hell, in the Bible, is the final judgment place where the wicked receive, the unbelievers, the dead, receive what they have earned by their behaviors and their unbelief. No one prior to Jesus went to hell in that sense. That wasn't finished. Jesus had to come. He had to demonstrate God's justice over sin and his justness in regards to life so that then judgment could take place. So prior to Jesus and his resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection, people were in these holding places awaiting judgment because, you know, Satan's making claims, all kinds of claims, and God is saying, no, Jesus is the one, you're not the one. And finally Jesus comes, Satan tries to defeat him, fails miserably, and now we have this choice that we never had before. And the people in the Old Testament didn't have the same choice that we have, and so God allowed them incredible grace by not sending them to hell, even if they were wicked. They didn't go to that final situation until Jesus was done. And now, because Jesus is done, now whatever is happening in eternity can happen in eternity. And we don't have any picture of eternity. We've only got time right now. And so we're offered eternal life in Christ right now. And it's eternal life, but we don't understand it. We just know we have it because God himself lives within us. And anyone else who had accepted the one true God in the Old Testament received that same gift the moment Jesus went back to the Father.
So Sheol's not still full of people, or is it?
Well, there's going to be a final resurrection of the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. They're going to stand. Hades is going to empty out. They're going to stand before God, and then they're going to be able to argue their case, and they're going to see that they have no case. They have no merit for salvation, and their rebellious hearts will be judged, and they will experience eternal death. And that's really where we see the lake of fire.
Yes.
And that's at the end.
Yeah. David, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for your call. Love hearing from you. Friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. A quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net, you're helping to make Basic Gospel possible every day as we proclaim the truth of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And this month, we want to say thank you to our loyal supporters by sending you a copy of a new CD revealing the proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Click donate at basicgospel.net and we're going to send you a copy. Now, this message of the New Covenant, friends, as you know, is ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest message this world will ever know. And like the early disciples, you can help get that message out. We pray that you will join us today. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net and we would love for you to partner with us. Basicgospel.net. If you have a question or some concern later today or overnight, leave us a voicemail. The number is 844-322-2742, and that's available 24 hours a day. Again, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for our study in Ephesians on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.